Good morning, everyone. I'm not Satan. It's an obscure reference to what I did in this place about 2 years ago. And I didn't channel Satan. I just acted like Satan for about 20 minutes. Got a lot of people bent out of shape, but I'm hoping that I got a lot of people thinking about a lot of things. I'm here this morning because I feel called to be here this morning. You're not going to hear anything you don't already know. So whether you're 5 or 95, everything I'm going to tell you, you already know. You really honestly already know. Can we silence the cell phones? Okay. Among my gifts are organizing things, speaking persuasively, and caring about people. So that's what I'm using this morning. And I'm simply going to tell you my story through the parable of the five talents. Why don't we pray real quickly? Heavenly Father, thank you for absolutely everything. Thank you for all the gifts you've given me. Thank you for a beautiful wife and my children. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for surrounding me with saints. Thank you for music. Thank you for the career I've had. Thank you for the life I've had. Thank you for the health I have. The list, honestly, God, is endless. And thank you for helping me go from being self-centered to being Christ-centered. And I know it's a daily struggle for both of us. Thank you for that. Please guide me this morning so that what comes out of my mouth is from you, not from Sam. If my pride and ego start to come in, squelch it immediately, because this is not about me. Honestly, this is about you. I care about these people. I love them. And I'm hoping that by sharing me, I can help them see more in the Bible and see things that they already know. In the beautiful name of Christ, we pray. Amen. And as Sarah Bolan would say, amen. All right. John, if you could put Matthew 25 up on the screen. I'm going to read this to you real quickly. Again, it, and what the it is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is people incorporating the teachings of Jesus Christ in their day-to-day living. So the kingdom of God is here. It lives in every single one of us. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he, the master, went on a journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags, or 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's a cheery way to start Sunday morning. Okay, I'm the guy with the 5 talents, with the 5 bags of gold. Does this thing keep jumping out of my face here? Okay. It's always the technical stuff. Is it still even working, John? All right. Okay, but I was not always the guy with the 5 bags of gold. I was the guy with 1 bag of gold. I was afraid to take risks. People were always critical. And if this doesn't work, I'll just speak real loud. Okay. Can you still hear me? Okay. I'll go to the pulpit. It's recorded. It's always something. Check one, check two. All right. In my life, people, in my view, were always critical. I was ridiculed. I did what people told me to do in terms of a career choice, how I dressed, what I thought. I took my opportunities for granted. This guy had a bag of gold. He took it for granted. So did I. I was self-centered. When things didn't go right, it was never my fault. I'm a lawyer. I could rationalize away anything, all of my failures. I wanted to be liked. Deep down, I wanted to be loved. So I did things that made, so if I did things that made people critical of me or made them laugh at me, I learned that they wouldn't love me. So I stopped doing those things. And I came up with many, many, many effective coping mechanisms to avoid the appearance of failure. It's very important in court when you're losing. I did anything for people, even if I didn't know what to do. Their problems became my problems. I took on cases I should not have taken on. I made promises I should not have made. I wanted to rescue everybody. It became my job to rescue everybody. The more I did for people, the harder I worked, the less valued I felt. I felt resentful and angry. The world was unfair, and I stopped trusting everyone. And as a side note, many of you do know I am an attorney, and your perception of us is that we have ice water in our veins. I thought I did for the longest time. Turns out I don't. So, if for some reason God has me up here crying or blubbering, please be polite and have the good sense to stare at somebody else. Thank you. We got that out of the way, William. Thank you. When I turned about 40, I'm 62 now, when I turned about 40, I became born again. And I started reading the Bible. I knew what the Bible said. Between then and now, I've read it through cover to cover. And this is not boasting. This is just my daily routine. Probably 20 times. Okay, all the way from Genesis through Revelation. I knew what it said, but I never made the connection between what it said and how to have a joyful life. So because of that, even though I knew what the Bible said, I basically just gave up. Whenever I was given anything good, I looked for the catch. I looked for how I was being used. I didn't accept gifts because something was always demanded of me in return. And I wasn't going to change. I stopped functioning. Many of you witnessed that 5 years ago. I lost everything. I lost money. I lost career. I lost my family. I lost my creativity. Being unhappy was normal. Not being loved was normal. Not caring about my health, my car, my career, my house, or my loved ones was normal. I honestly didn't care if I lived or died. I really didn't. I was indifferent if I stayed in that condition. I really didn't see that life could be any different. I didn't know I was feeling pain. I really didn't. I was who I was. Feeling bad was normal. I didn't know anything else. The good news is, for all of us, is that God uses bad things for good. My life took a turn when some really hideous people tried to kill two of my daughters. My girls got really sick and almost died. One intentionally, and the other through stupidity. I could do nothing for them. But in all of this, I did everything I could for them. Over and over and over and over again. I tried harder, and the more I tried, the worse they got, the sicker they got. I tried everything that was out there to try. Remember, it was my job to save everybody. I tried everything except for one thing. I didn't want my daughters to die, but I had no plan, no clue on what to do, and no book to go to for help. I was the guy with the one talent. It was all in front of me, but I refused to use it. I went and buried it and hid it. I did not use it. And two kids almost died as a result of that. There's a Liberian proverb. Yeah, Liberia. It's more than just ships and terrorists. Okay. And the proverb is, do not look where you fell, but where you slipped. I never asked people for help. I'm a lawyer. I can do it all. Okay? I'm equal with medical doctors in terms of knowing that I'm God. No offense to the medical doctors out there. And I never asked God for help. I had taken my treasure and I had buried it. My pain of having everything fall apart finally overcame my fear of having to trust somebody. So, I took a step towards people and towards God. John, if you could put Proverbs 5, or 3, 5 through 6, and there it is. It's like my wife is three steps ahead of me here. All right. This is the first proverb I ever memorized, and I did that 20 years ago. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Submit? Are you nuts? Trust? That's what got me in this predicament in the first place. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to trust. However, nothing else had worked. Have you ever gotten to the point where you say, well, nothing else has worked. I'll try God. I'd read the Bible a bunch of times. Did I believe that God is who He says He is? Did I believe God could do what He said He could do? In my head, yes. In my heart, no. I hadn't made the connection between the Bible and living my life. I took the first step. I needed a new way of living. I needed new ways to look for love. Go to college, people will love you. Get a master's in business, people will love you. Go to law school, people will love you. It's garbage. I was among the smartest kids in every single school I ever went to, from nursery school through law school. But at that point in my life, I had accomplished absolutely nothing meaningful. I had wasted my potential. I had wasted my gifts. I was doing what I thought I needed to do, and I thought I needed to do those things because I was listening to other voices telling me, this is what you need to do. I wasn't listening to God. I wasn't listening to my own heart, whom God was speaking to me through. But I took the first step. I had no choice. I had two kids that were ready to die. Proverbs 3, 13 through 17, to paraphrase it. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. She, wisdom, and I've always pictured wisdom as a woman, and I don't know why. I'm more comfortable around women. I trust women. It has nothing to do with the man-woman thing. There's just something, ladies, about you all that is calming to me. That really helps me stay on an even keel, honestly. And incidentally, my wife talks, God talks to me through my wife constantly. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. You know the expression, it's men that start the wars and the women that say enough already. Proverbs 8, 35 through 36, again paraphrasing. Whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. So I have a Bible saying, Sam, it is here. What are you going to do? I took the first step. I had no idea where it was leading. But I chose God and godly people. I still didn't trust anyone. Not my wife, not my kids. And I had no friends. Intellectually, I was a star. I knew I could trust God intellectually. I'd read the Bible, as I said, from Genesis through Revelation, the entire thing, including the endless instructions on how to divide the promised land between the 12 tribes and the endless genealogies. I had read it over and over. God, there's got to be some reason I'm reading about go to this river, hang a left, go up till you get to the Mediterranean, hang a right, go till you see this tree and hang and go south. Whatever, I trust you. But at that point, when I took the first step, I realized and accepted the fact that I have to live God's way, not my way. I have to live God's way. And I have to live God's way forever. This is not a quick fix. I can't decide I'm going to be better. I can't decide I'm just going to live God's way. Then miraculously, it just happens. Okay. Miraculously, when I say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and believe that in my heart and give my life to Him, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit starts to live inside me at that point. But for me to change my life, that's on Sam. That's on every one of us. If I want to be different, I have to be different. I have the power within me to do that through the Holy Spirit. But God just doesn't snap His finger and say, okay, you're perfect, buddy. When I had memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, 20 years ago, it rang true. Now I was taking a step to trust God. I had a sense through all of this that He had something for me to do. I'd had that sense my entire life. Many of you don't know, when I was born, I had a physical condition where the esophagus, instead of going to the stomach, opens into the trachea. This is not good. This is 1954. This is not good. You'd die from that. This is not good. I was lucky. My dad almost instantly became a Christian, made a bargain with God. You get this kid through this, I'm yours. And he was. My surgeon was C. Everett Koop. Who is he? He was the Surgeon General under Reagan. He's a pediatric surgeon. He was a devout Christian. He was probably one of the top pediatric surgeons in his day in 1954. Thank God he was at Philadelphia Children's Hospital. He described my surgery as trying to tie two pieces of spaghetti together down the bottom of an ice cream cone. Okay, those of you that have ever seen me swimming have seen the scars. This is just a miracle I'm alive. Okay. Somehow, I didn't die from that. Somehow, I didn't die as a drunken college student. Somehow, I didn't die as an angry, reckless driver on the freeway, not really caring as I'm changing lanes without looking in traffic because I'm just bent out of shape at somebody. Somehow I didn't contract and die of some hideous disease from a careless lifestyle. As many of you know, I was in a rock band for ages. Don't let your daughters date us, okay? I always respected women, but don't let your daughters date us. And I kind of figured, Sam, why did I have four daughters? Well, Sam, sometimes God speaks to me through Rod Belcher. John, if you could please put Psalm, it's three steps ahead of me. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. And by fear, you love Him, you respect Him, you follow Him, you try to learn everything you can about Him. He makes His covenant known to them. People, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare. God wanted me to be something I had never been. I started to trust people, and I started to trust them, the people who showed me their faithfulness through to me and to other people. It wasn't what they did, it's how they acted. Okay, I started to love my neighbor. I still lock my front door. The people that I started to trust, they were patient with me. They clearly cared about me. They didn't want something from me. They didn't care who I was or anything about my past. They didn't care about my prospects for the future. They didn't care about how much money I had or who I knew or how I dressed or what I did for a living or what I drove or the color of my skin or how old I was or how I spoke. Their mantra, unspoken in words but clear through their example, was this: we love Jesus Christ. We love you. That's you guys, and that's a whole lot of other people. I started attending seriously gatherings of godly people. I started to speak at the gatherings of these godly people. I think my first words were, "Where's the coffee?" Followed by, "Thank you." It was another first step. I started to open up, and life got better. I started talking to God. As my children will tell you, I actually talk to God. I wander around the house and I'm talking to God. Many of you have seen me talking as if to myself. My daughter Brittany said, at least hold a cell phone up to your head when you're talking to yourself so people think you're talking to somebody. Because Dad, they think you're nuts. And Brittany, by the way, thinks I'm showing early stages of Alzheimer's. She just wants my car and my property. So, Britt, if you're out there, I apologize, honey. One of my first chats with God went with like this. I asked, "Why am I responsible for what everybody else does?" "God, are you?" "Yes." "Really?" "Yeah, really." "So, you can control what other people do?" "Yeah, I'm clever, I am good at playing games, and I can be very persuasive." "Sam, can you keep anybody from getting cancer?" "I can persuade them not to smoke." "Sam, can you cure cancer?" "No." "Sam, do you do things you don't want to do?" "I do exactly what I want." "Really?" "No." "Can you control yourself?" "Yes." "Really?" "No." After a very long pause, God said to me, "What are you going to do, Sam?" And after another long pause, "I don't know. I need help. My life, is a mess. I am unloved. I am unloving. No one says thank you for what I do. I feel like I should be doing something. I don't know what. I want this to stop. I want to have a life. People always let me down. You, God, have never let me down. And I realized and accepted that I had to live God's way, not my way, forever and completely. I unburied that treasure. Proverbs 4:23-27. This is God talking to me. It's talking to all of us. Above all else, guard your heart. Put away perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. I had to live God's way, not my way, forever and completely. I am to focus on God. And that's when I became a steward that my master entrusted those five talents, those five bags of gold to. I wasn't looking for a reward. Not anymore. Remember when I was in undergrad, I wanted to be a medical doctor. Rock and roll got in the way and an explosion in an organic chemistry lab too, but that's another story. I had a picture of a Corvette on my notebook, and that was to remind me why I wanted to become a medical doctor. When I got my acceptance to law school, I felt a tremendous sense of relief. I will never have money problems again as long as I live. I'm going to be a lawyer. Fabulous, Sam. But once I became a steward for God, I didn't care about physical or tangible rewards. I simply wanted to be the best that I could be. And I promised myself that I would do the very best I could with what I had to work with. I have a bond with Jesus Christ. And all of us have a bond with Jesus Christ. Work at it. It will get stronger. And with that bond with Jesus Christ, that's when I chose to let God guide me to whatever He wanted me to do. To value relationships, to cherish music, to give people my time. No more the superficial, yeah, I'll pray for you. Come on, Sam. Sincerely, I'm not a shrink. I can't help you with this problem, but I care about you. I can help guide you to people that can help you. I will pray for you in a sincere way that your eyes are open or that you get surrounded by people that can do something for you. That's giving people your time. As my family will tell you, boy, Dad doesn't like being late for anything. Okay, that's history now. My watch, well, I don't wear one anymore, but this says Jesus loves me. To give treasure to the church, to build up and to not tear down, to improve myself, to love my neighbor, though I'm still locking my front door. Where are we, Sam? As a good and faithful servant, I am rewarded to the extent I follow God. I'm not looking for a physical reward, though I'd love to have a white Porsche Carrera with a tan interior. It's not going to happen. I don't care. Maybe it will. I don't know. I don't care. I got good stuff. God has given me everything a man could need. God knows what I need to live on, so that means I really don't have to worry about it. I still have to do my part. I can't just sit back and go, okay, God, what are you going to give me today? Nothing until you get out and do something, Sam. Take your steps. What I am rewarded by every day are the fruits of the Spirit. And there they are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is another way of saying patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. As many of you know, I drive a sports car because I like driving a sports car. There's just something about it. Okay. There's a problem when you drive a sports car, because when you are very, very maneuverable and you have a lot of horsepower and you can just stomp on it and it takes off, that will change the way you drive, but it also changes the way you relate to the other drivers out there who are less informed and less skilled than you are. So, a long time ago, I put that little fish symbol on the back of my car, because the last thing I wanted to do was be me behind the wheel. And by the way, those of you that follow Formula One, Lewis Hamilton did win the British Grand Prix this morning. He's my guy. I was being a total jerk behind the wheel. There's no polite way to say it. So the fish was back there to remind me whose I am and to not be that way. But the amazing thing about these fruits of the Spirit, last two, gentleness and self-control, as I'm slamming into fifth and pulling back into sixth, is that gentle? Is that self-control, Sam? No. I'm a better driver now. I'm a much more patient driver out there. I tell myself I am not in a race. I'm here to simply get from point A to point B. I have a nice car. I'd like to keep my driver's license. I'd like to not smash this thing up. So, fruits of the Spirit. People, what's nourished grows. What's neglected dies. I don't know what talents you've been given. Nourish them. Use what you have. Use it to the best of your ability. I don't seek perfection. I seek progress. I want to be excellent at what I do, whether it's standing over here and doing what I do there, whether it's still wandering into courtrooms and doing what I do for clients, whether it's negotiating deals to try to get everybody to live their lives better. I just want to be good at what I do. I don't have to be the best, but I have to strive to be the best. And wherever I end up is wherever I end up. And that's what God was saying in this parable. You used what you had. You did the best you could with it. Good. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. There's where your power comes from, to be the best you can be. Call on it. God is not a vending machine, but He's telling you, take the first step and be amazed at me, at what I can do. You've read the Bible. You've seen these things. You know what His promises are. It's not words on a piece of paper. This is God talking to you. This is God talking to me. The Bible is not just a book. It is instructions on how to live in this world. There is not a single human problem that is not answered in that book if I will let go of my ego and pride and read the darn thing and think about it. I choose to trust God. Every day is beautiful. Every person is beautiful. Storms will continue to come, and God will continue to guide me through them. I am no longer alone, and I am loved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for absolutely everything. I'm grateful for the time to be able to tell people about my life, not because anybody needs to know about my life, and not because I have any need to tell anybody about my life. I care about people. I love people. And I love what you did in my life, and I'm grateful. And it's because of that gratitude that I even do this. It's not about me. It's about you. My prayer is that everyone here loves you or continues to love you or asks about you or wants to know you more, and that they know that you absolutely care about them and you will guide them through every storm in their life. You will help them use whatever they have in the best way they can. In the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And thank you.